January is a great month to talk about gardening because at this point, too early to plant just about anything. It's pretty much all talk, all theoretical. Early in the pandemic, when many people took up gardening for something to do, we reached out to Jackson County Master Gardeners and found Lynn Kunstman, who now joins us monthly outside the growing season to field our many questions on successful gardening. Lynn, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It seems like a good time to take a wholesale look at how your property is allocated, and I know that you have some feelings about lawns we have covered in the past, but this is a good time to consider how you allocate your land, it seems like.
Yeah, we actually just had a neighbor in our court take out their swimming pool and put in a garden. So
wow.
people are rethinking how they're using space on their land. So yeah, good.
Let's talk about that. I mean, is there a good rule of thumb for a square footage or something? Like if you're a first time gardener, don't attempt more than 10 square feet or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends on your time and energy level, and you can get overwhelmed putting too much in. But I mean, start with one garden bed and then expand it if you have success the first year. I know in a lot of municipalities, people are putting their vegetable gardens right in their front yards. You know, they're removing the lawn and growing food, and then they have a private space in back to hang out with the family. But, we're kind of reversed here at my house. We have the pollinator garden in the front, and in the back is all food garden. So, it's personal preference, and it has to do with time and energy, basically. Can you maintain a giant garden if you've gone back to work and you? So...
All right. So in addition to square footage, as we talk about raised beds, I mean, how high do they tend to get raised? What's a good height for being able to work on them and not have to get all the way down on your knees in the dirt?
Yeah, again, that's personal preference. I mean, ours are just pulled dirt. We just mound the earth. We have paths every 4 feet, a 2 foot path, and then we have a 4 foot bed that we just pull the dirt up on. So our raised beds are only about, I don't know, six to eight inches high, but you can build taller beds. And in fact, there are lots of places, community gardens and such, where they put in deliberately high raised beds, even 3 feet high, so that people in wheelchairs or people who can't bend easily, can maintain those spaces without having to get down on the ground. So once again, that has to do with your personal preference and physical ability.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So the physical fitness certainly comes into play here in tending a garden. And do you get some interesting pulls and strains and things like that from your gardening work?
I had a back issue a few years ago that I was having just constant pain. Turned out to be, an inflamed nerve, and it was easily remedied with a cortisone shot. But some people can, back strain is certainly something that can occur if you're, lifting things improperly or turning compost improperly, not using your legs, mm-hmm. And straining your back. There are people that have issues. Certainly the elderly population has more trouble with those kinds of things, hips that give them problems or aches and pains.
So
once again, it's a matter of pacing and knowing what your body's capable of, but it will help you stay in shape.
Mm-hmm, right.
Good exercise.
So it sounds like what I'm hearing is start modestly if you're gardening for the first time. And
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people can just jump into something and just go hog wild and be very successful. But I think for most people, starting with a bed or two and just grow the things that you know are going to be very successful in the valley, things like tomatoes and peppers and squash here in Rogue Valley. And then you can branch out to some of those shoulder season vegetables, the cool weather crops that most people don't grow but are really very, very productive in spring and fall. You know, so you can expand that way after you had some success in the summer season.
Are there some things that people should be planting into indoor beds at the moment to get them ready for a spring?
You know, not so much planting right now. I mean, there are a few things you can sow for transplanting. Things like cabbage, you can put those in pots and kind of grow them in a cold frame or a warm space to get them up and growing to put out in about a month. Things like cabbage, lettuce, parsley, peas. Those are good things to start in January in an indoor space or a warm space on a heating mat or something like that. And you know, you look for them in nurseries. When they show up in the nurseries, it's time to put them out in the garden.
Okay.
So then be planning for February because in February you can actually, and that's only a couple of weeks away now, you can direct seed arugula and fava beans and onions and peas and radishes and spinach, you know, and then transplant a ton of other stuff. There's a huge list. Plus, so transplanting next month in February, things like asparagus roots will be available at the nurseries, all the perennial herbs. So everybody should be growing herbs, horseradish, lettuce, onion sets, and strawberries, you know, rhubarb, all those things. And the other thing that people really need to know this time of year is that it's bare root season. So if you want to put in fruit trees or cane berries or, you know, any of those kind of larger fruit-bearing vines and shrubs, they are coming into the nurseries right now. And it's a good time to do a little field trip to the nursery. Look through the bare root stock and think about, you know, do you want to grow a little orchard? Do you want, we grow great fruit on trees here in this valley. And I know some of the nurseries sell even espaliered fruit trees that you can put right along a fence line and they stay kind of flat against the fence and bear fruit. So, you know, even small spaces can produce a lot of food.
Okay, I can see that February is going to be a real active month on this segment because
there's a lot to talk about for sure. So, February will, there's lots of stuff ready, you know, coming ready in February. But right now, thinking at planning and seeking out some of those bare root fruit and fruiting shrubs and trees is a really good thing to do.
Okay.
The other thing I want to tell everybody to do is to go to YouTube and watch the video Restoring the Little Things That Run the World by Professor Doug Tallamy. That's listed on all of my, you know, information sheets that I send you, and I think you've got it on your links there. But I want everybody to watch that. Everybody in the country.
I will see if we can embed that. We had a great talk with Doug Tallamy when he was here talking about how we can all sort of rebuild nature one backyard at a time.
Oh, yeah. Right in your yard. Mm-hmm. I mean, truly, you know, I have 39 species of birds that visit my yard. This little tiny corner patch of ground in Medford, if everybody had one keystone plant in their yard, our bird population would soar. So,
Lynn Kunzman, back on the Jefferson Exchange from Jackson County Master Gardeners. Her visits are monthly outside the growing season, and we'll convert back to weekly when things start sprouting from the ground. But you can join in now with your question, your comment, your head scratcher about gardening. 800-838-3760 is the phone number. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Peter in Ashland. Welcome to the Exchange.
Top of the morning. First of all, wondering if you can repeat that name of whoever you just mentioned, Jeff.
That's Douglas Tallamy from the University of Delaware, isn't he?
Yes. Professor.
T-A-L-L-A-M-Y. Douglas W. Tallamy, yeah.
M-Y, okay. My question for you, Lynn, is regarding, basically Tatsai, Joy Choy, Mizuna.
Uh-huh. And, the Asian greens,
And it's been my experience that whenever I've tried to buy those in and not do them myself, buy them and transplant them, that they bolt immediately, even in the cool season. And that
they do tend to. They grow really easily from seed. You know, yeah. I mean, they really do. And once again, it depends on how long a cool spring season we have, or a long sort of waning fall we have. Because I've got Kotsoi and Mizuna right now that I'm harvesting that's overwintered. You know, even through these heavy, heavy frosts, I planted it in fall. And I think I planted it, I actually did plant it from a mesclun mix that I bought at the nursery. I didn't plant it from seed myself. I can't remember. You know me. I did grow it from seed, and it came up and it's gone all winter long. I picked, fresh for salads, right out of that little patch that I planted. And so the Tatsoi and the Mizuna are great for overwinter greens, along with kale.
You could get, basically pak choi, joy choi, those would overwinter just fine too, don't you think?
Probably. I don't know. I've never had any, a lot of success with pak choi, but that's just me. I'm not the greatest gardener in the world. Certainly, some of the other ones, Mizuna especially, is just so easy and so successful and has such a great mild mustardy flavor, that I just don't know why people don't all grow it in their gardens and have it with kale in salads.
Peter, thanks for that. I very much appreciate it. We have an email from Kelly in Ashland, wants to know if it's okay to plant Hernaria now and also to sow a native grass seed mix.
Arnaria. I am not familiar with Arnaria. I don't know what that is.
I did look up Hernaria. Hernaria glabra, jeepers creepers. Hernaria repens is another one. A trailing plant grows 2 to 3 inches tall, tiny bright green leaves.
I don't have a clue. Huh. So I can't answer that question. Anything that's bare root now that's dormant can be planted. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about, I've never heard of Hernaria. She stumped the stars.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. What about a native grass seed mix?
Native grass seed, you could put it out now. It probably needs to stratify most of our native plants. Their seeds need to be out in the cold, damp. You could even do it in a tray. And then once the little plants come up, transplant them as plugs out into the yard where you want them. That's how we operate in the native nursery over at Sorek. Mm-hmm. We put the seeds on a big nursery flat, basically. And then the little seedlings come up and they kind of sit there. They look like they're sitting there, but they're putting down big roots. And then we transplant them into pots for sale, but you could transplant those directly out into an area that you had prepped for them. If you want to make sure you've got them placed where you want them. If you just want them scattered, then prepare the area and toss them out there.
For the people who scratch their heads about the name SOREC, that's the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center.
Right.
So we just want to clear that. Another phone call here from Karen in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Lynn Kunzman from Jackson County Master Gardeners.
Yes, hello. I'd like to grow beans, the green beans when they go to seed. Do I have to wait till the end of the season? Is that the only time I can get the beans out of green beans?
Oh, you mean the dry beans? Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to leave them on the plants and let the pods really dry and get crisp. And then I tell people, just put them in a paper bag so they can completely dry with air circulation. And then you crush the pods and, winnow out the old pod material and you've got dry beans. Yes, but you do need to let them mature fully and dry on the plant.
All right. So thanks for that.
But and you have to catch them, of course, before they dehisce, which means they pop open and throw their seeds everywhere. So you kind of have to wait till they're dry, but get them before they open up.
Okay, yeah. So it is a timing element there. You got to be careful.
It is a timing thing. Yeah, keep
All
an
right.
eye on it.
Thanks for that, Karen. Email from Gary, no town given. I'm trying outdoor winter sowing in plastic tubs for the first time. I'm attempting onions and lettuce. Have you any experience with this method? Seems like a no fuss method of early sowing without taking up room indoors.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's no reason you can't plant in tubs, in containers, those sort of small vegetables that are amenable to that. And certainly some of those winter greens and onions, garlic, that kind of stuff, will do fine in tubs. And outside is fine if you have a warm enough space where they're actually going to germinate this time of year. The onions, of course, because they're bulbs, are just going to come up like any bulb would in spring. So, they're just going to follow the day length and come and start coming up like your daffodils do.
Peter called back with one final point, which was to point out that miner's lettuce and a few other plants are going crazy after the week of snow. He points out, I noticed that too in my front yard, miner's lettuce all over the place.
You bet. Those native edibles are a terrific thing to go out and forage.
And is there a point at which they're better to eat? I picked up one and chewed on it the other day, and it tasted a little bit like the underside of the lawnmower, which was not my experience last time. I haven't mowed. I want to point that out.
And you've been licking your lawnmower, which is a little concerning. Okay. So, the Claytonia, if you pick the leaves when they're young, you don't want to wait until they're really giant and then have started flowering. Try and get the smaller, younger leaves. They're probably a little more tender. But miner's lettuce is lovely.
Salads only, or is there some sort of warm preparation you're aware of?
I have no idea about cooking it. I've always just eaten it raw.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah,
raw.
I don't know. I'd have to Google that.
Yeah, we had a good sized one or two good sized salads with the miner's lettuce just in the front yard last year, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's great.
So, we're down to our final question here, I guess. Pruning fruit trees. This is a great time for that, I would think.
Absolutely, yeah. This is the time. There are lots of videos online. I know OSU has 10-minute university classes that show you how to prune fruit trees, how to prune roses, all the things that are dormant now.
Okay, we will get a look at that and provide links as needed. And I certainly want to get Doug Tallamy's link to Restoring the Little Things That Run the World. We'll see if we can post that video right on our website at jeffexchange.org. Lynn Kunzman, I did short you a little bit on time this month. We'll make sure we give you the full 22 next month and look forward to that visit as well.
Great to talk to you.
All right, take it easy. This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. Lynn Kunzman joins us once a month from Jackson County Master Gardeners, once a month during the non-growing season. In growing season, we'll have her on weekly.